Hopefully your vocal cords are working well this morning.
It is
a little different situation. We have lots of what has happened is that Raj and I have, we spoke over the week and we came up with some points that we thought would be good to review. But the main thing is that we can answer any questions that you all have. The intent isn't really to teach new material, but simply to review and to discuss things that we've already gone over. So, you know, as I thought about it this week, as I always desire for the Lord to bring these things to our remembrance, that they're not just things that we sit in here in this room every Sunday morning and talk about, but that they're things that God brings to our remembrance during the week. So, what did God bring to your mind this week? Anybody want to share that? Yeah, great. Thank you. Carol.
I have a lot of confusion and concern about walking in faith, trusting the Holy Spirit to do that, but not venturing into self-righteousness, not venturing into self. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I just think that's such a difficult thing. You don't want to, how I say, throw dirty rags at the Lord's feet. And yet, Scripture seems to indicate that we can walk that way in the power of the Holy Spirit. But I have trouble with dividing one.
Yes.
Anybody else?
Okay.
I can say that I don't have any fear of walking down the wrong path. I know the Lord is with me either way.
Yes. Why don't we do this then? Why don't we just take that thought, let's take that question, because it's one that we have set for today, and it's towards the end, but why don't we just jump to it, and we'll just get to it, and take as long as we need to get to talk through it, and if we have time left, then we'll go back to the beginning, we'll work through it that way. We're real flexible today, which is really nice. So, let's just go in chapter 8, and let's look at verse 11, and then I'll read down through verse 13. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. So then, brethren, we are not under obligation, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So we talked through last week, is the first phrase of verse 9, is it positional or conditional? And we established last week that the first phrase there verse 11 there, not verse 9. No, it is verse 9. It is positional. And so a question would be, what are some of the positional truths that true believers, because we are not in the flesh, but we're in the Spirit? And there's lots of positional truths that are true of us because that's the case. The ones that are brought out there because of result of our position is we're not under obligation to the flesh. God is giving life to our mortal bodies. Believers are to, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body. So, the question then, which I posed, which I think comes to Carol, her question, how does the believer, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body? How does that happen? How does that take place? I have another question here. What is God's part in this instruction, and what is man's part in this instruction? And I think that kind of is getting to a lot of what the question is. And so what do you think? I mean, again, I can teach it, and we've already done it, but that's not the point. The point is to review and talk and interact and discuss.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that our focus is to be on who we are, and I think that really is, if our focus is there, then our condition should come out of that. But what happens is we lose our focus, right? We go back to self, you know, that. Many, many examples during the daytime. I mean, people will say something to us. People will drive irrationally. Of course, we're driving rationally all the time. And we'll revert back to the you know, for a sinful nature. That happens, you know, with me, happens daily, maybe hourly, maybe more than that, more than I'd like to admit. So, but the Lord tells us, and what Jim's going to cover is his position. He's going to cover our wonderful position in Christ and what, you know, how we're to see ourselves. And that's, I think a good part of that is if you were to ask yourself, where am I focused, you know, moment by moment. Now, you can make that into a law. You can say, well, I wasn't focused on the Lord in the last 5 minutes, therefore. But but the Scripture is teaching us that we're to know our position and we're to focus on that. And so, I mean, that's and it's not to become a burden. It's become a wonderful blessing. You know, so, you know, that's maybe the global answer. He's going to give more details.
The global answer. That's true.
I keep going back to that, to the death part, the separation, and that's so important that we are no longer, we're separated from the deeds of the body, and so we're no longer tied to that. But who are we tied to? It's Christ.
But it's easy enough to say, yeah, I believe all that. That's not hard.
Yeah.
To when you've got a list of 10,000 things you're doing in any given hour, you know, that the focus is the difficult thing, I think. I mean, I never think, oh, I don't believe that stuff. I always, of course, but I don't. You just don't live minute by minute focusing on that. It's really, really hard during a busy day to remember who you are. Mm-hmm. You just remember what you've got to do. At least for some of us, that's how we function. And that's what's the really, really hard part, I think, is that focus.
Mm-hmm. One thing I think, if you look back at verse 13, by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body. And as we've already learned in 6 and 7 about our position and our identification, and we're resting in that, and hopefully our actions will flow out of that, whether it's necessarily a conscious thought or not. But when it comes to, you know, feeling like, in a sense, then does myself kind of creep in and, I don't know, kind of take credit for things I'm doing? I think that at that point, that's where the Holy Spirit comes into play, because by the Spirit we're doing this, and part of His ministry in our lives is to convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. And so I think that when those things creep in and then we're aware of them, I think that's the Holy Spirit bringing that to our awareness, that, you know, I'm whatever, however it is, you know, if it's an action that we're taking credit for, we're thinking, you know, I'm doing great today, I feel like I'm really walking in the Spirit. And if we feel like that becomes an item of pride for us, then that's just simply another opportunity to believe in our identification again, that it's not from us, it's not from our power, and it's from our new life in Christ, which has nothing to do with us, of course. So, I don't know.
It may be that the difficulty here that we're talking about is that the mundane many things that we have to do throughout the day, we may consider those not to be spiritual, and but if we keep in mind that even though they are mundane and they're irritating, that all that we do, we're doing those things as unto the Lord, and even though they're in our lives, they're in our bodies with our hands and various things, but we may not think that they're spiritual, and really they are, because whatever they are, we are doing it unto the Lord, and we're doing it by faith.
That's right. Good point. Donna?
Well, and along with what Rachel was saying, you know, I think when you have this great teaching like we have here, and you believe these things, you start to have the expectation that it's personal, that the Holy Spirit, I can expect that regardless of what's going on, I can expect that he's working there. Whether I'm, regardless of what my position might be or how, you know, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing from my judgment, he's at work there. And that gives you some rest knowing that.
Right. Jump to slide 6 for those that just came in. 10 minutes in the class, we're on slide 6. We just blew through 1 through 5. So so go to the last stage. So good thought. Good thoughts. Any other thoughts?
Well, it's interesting, you know, all things that have been mentioned, are a lot of it's about knowledge, knowing. We need to know the, you know, and that's why it's important to go over it, and even though you say, well, I've been through this before, you go over it again, because we forget.
Yes,
and
yes.
We, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's a verse but where it says in Ephesians, the spirit rushes against the flesh, flesh against the spirit. Mm-hmm. And not finding it, first I can't look at the context, which is the homebound.
Same thing, Galatians, talking about through the spirit.
Okay. But I feel that in myself a lot. And I think maybe focus is not always the proper word, where it's not focus, but that this is occurring. It's really my old man and the spirit are both within me. And I'm struggling with that. Mm-hmm. And I find that one of the main ways that I see it in my head is anger. I have a lot of anger. Mm-hmm. And it's there in the old man, and it comes out so fast that I am amazed and reminded of that, how much I still need to do that. Not to save me, but to
yes.
And give me peace.
I think one thing that's encouraging is Paul struggled with something. And look where Paul got his strength.
Yeah. Yeah. Lord himself.
And he says, "O wretched man that I am."
Yeah.
He can deliver me. Of course, he knew the answer too, and we know the answer. So apparently he went through that same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the verse that always bothers me is that God, the good works that God planned in advance for me to do.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, okay, if I run down to the mission to help serve some food, is that his idea or mine? And then it stops me in my tracks, and I don't do it. I don't do anything, and I fail. I mean, then I'm going to say, when I get there. Wait a minute. And I even have a hesitancy to do what I feel I'd like to do.
Why is there the hesitancy? I think all of us can relate to that, right? So I'm not picking on you, but you're raising a question that all of us commonly share. So why the hesitancy sometimes?
Well, I think I know what happens sometimes. Okay, so I do a good work. And so then pat myself on the back, and I feel sort of proud about it. I know that's sin. So it's like a vicious circle.
Yeah.
Doesn't anybody else have this?
I wonder, I can totally relate to that. I wonder if you aren't with a microscope. I'm an engineer and I love details, Let's see, five after I thought that, you can drive yourself crazy pretty easily. You can overthink it. Rather than, I don't like the idea of being loose about it, but I think as the Lord provides opportunities, and you have the ability and the talents to do that, you have the car to drive down the mission, or you don't have the car, or whatever you have, I think when I'm at work, I say, well, there are people there that need Christ. Put in the corner of my Bible and say, you need Christ? If I do that, I probably get thrown out of work eventually. But I think as the Lord, I find people just come and talk to me. They just come and ask me. Your life is a witness. So I think all that, the Lord's not laying this, he's not laying the law on you. We know that.
Sure.
We're free from the law. So he's going to do it in grace. And so I think we can relax. I mean, Hal did that all the, we saw that in Hal, and he talked about that so much of the time. And I think it is to relax. Our Christian life is to be relaxed, not to be why did I do this? And
that's right,
examining every single detail, you can just go.
Yeah, the walk of faith. Walking by faith right. and dependency upon the Lord to live His life in right. through us is restful.
Exactly.
Relax when you think about it.
I don't know if this is right or not, but if we do something, even if it's with the wrong motives, it's not like a sin. I mean, we still, you know, right? I mean, it's not wrong that we did it. It just wouldn't be counted for something, like, towards something that He led us to do.
Right. We have to be careful. I think a little bit about that. A couple weeks ago, we looked at a verse, whoever is not of faith is sin. Did you look at that verse? Was it last week or 2 weeks ago?
I can't remember.
Even if we're doing something that's a good thing, I think we've used the examples of, you know, I want to raise my kids and live with my wife in a God-honoring way, but if I'm not doing that in faith, then that would be a good sin. So in that sense,
I need to add something. I was thinking about Carol's question. Back to motive again. Mm-hmm. Your motive for going down to, you know, wherever and doing, what did you say?
Helping the mission.
Yeah. I mean, going down to do some good thing. If your motive is good and you really want to do that, that's one thing. And if your motive is bad, then it would possibly be a sin. But then if you get pride on top of it because you went down there and felt good about yourself and pat yourself on the back, then that's the second thing you deal with, right?
Sure.
And that doesn't help.
I feel like if you look at it in one way, if you say, okay, we're using this example. If you went to the rescue mission and fed hungry people, and you know, you believe, hey, you know what, this is something that I'd like to do right now, and I'm just going to trust God that this is right. I'm going to, you know, walk in my position. Then you come home and you feel pride about it. Well, that's a separate sin. That's, you know, you deal with that with God at that point, and then. But what if you stayed home and cleaned your house or something, and you broke something and you got annoyed? That's still sinning. In both instances, you're still sinning. You're still walking in the flesh. So the whole point is that, like, I look at walking by faith as free because we're not under the law. It's not like I've set all these things I have to do today and I have to get them done, and if I fail in any one thing, then I've lost the whole deal. That I can walk in my position in fellowship with God, and I can go about my day, and when something crops up, I can deal with Him right then. I can confess it and believe again in my position and walk on and not feel condemnation for that, and just be free to continue to enjoy God and my life with Him, which makes my life here more enjoyable.
And I think you can feel good about having done that without it saying that that's prideful.
No.
I mean, you know,
because that comes back.
I feel good about having done that because sure. I feel like that's where the Lord put me, and that's it. That doesn't mean to pat myself on the back for doing it.
Because it says in Ephesians 3:20, the verse that you mentioned, that we're created in Him to do good works. So if we're by faith and dependency upon Him, walking in the good works of which He's predetermined for us, praise the Lord for that. That doesn't have to be a self-righteous or a self-exalting type thing, but hey, praise the Lord that, you know, that He's set things up that because of the position we have in Him, that we can walk by faith and I can trust in Him, and look at what He just did through me. I mean, that's not self-exalting. It's a praise the Lord of what He just did in through me. Yeah. No, you're going to say something in a couple minutes.
There's such propensity to look on the actions, rather than the Christ. But it seems like that's such a distraction, is that the Lord shows you a sin, and the first thing you want to do is look at it and state it. Either feel sorry or feel, you know, go through all that emotional stuff rather than just saying, you know what, this is why you died.
Yes.
And move on.
Yeah.
Get your eyes back on Him.
Sure. So we tend to just kind of wallow around it for a while, as opposed to remembering, acknowledging our identification with Him.
And that really means that you expected something other than that.
Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Let's read through a couple verses, and again, stop me anytime.
I mean, this is great. I think it's really good interaction and discussion. So,
specifically in regard to this question, what is God's part in this instruction? God has done his part in identifying believers with Christ. Okay? I want to just get really, I think, straight to the answer of the question. So, we know we spent a lot of time in it, but go back to chapter 6. And this is what God has done. You know, praise the Lord for what it is that he has done. Verse 2. Shall we continue in sin? May it never be. God forbid, as KJV reads there. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? So, what has God done? He has identified us with Christ, in that now we are positionally dead to sin. Or do you not know that all of us, verse 3, all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is free from sin. So there, that's what God has done. If you want to say, what is God's part? That's it. He has identified, he has placed us into Christ. So whatever has happened to Christ has also happened to us. And we know that Christ died, we also died with him. He was buried, we were also buried with him. He was raised to walk in newness of life, so were we also raised to walk in newness of life. He's ascended and he's seated, so are we also. We ascended and seated, our citizenship is in heaven. Okay, I mean, it's hard to come to church here and not hear that at least one somewhere each Sunday, okay? Whether Vern's going to mention it in the sermon, or it's going to come across in one of the Sunday school classes. I mean, it's so important and it's so critical that it's a continual theme. And I think in the top right-hand corner of the website, there it is too, that word, we died, buried, risen, ascended, seated with Christ. So there it is. It's such a crucial and critical foundational truth for our Christian lives, what it is that God has done for us. Okay, so, and then verse 14, it says, "For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." So there brings in the idea of God's grace, and God's grace, in a sense, is this huge umbrella of God's grace, and then there's these different truths coming off of this gigantic, uncomprehendable umbrella of God's grace. Okay, so. So the identification truths are one arm coming off of the huge umbrella of God's grace. Okay, so we kind of see this brought out for us in the end of this section, which is in verse 14. Okay, so with that being said, God's part there, and so our part is to reckon on these things to be true. Verse 11 there. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And the KJV uses the word reckon there, or to count on it to be so, or to consider it to be so, or to rely on it to be so. Okay, so when we get to this idea here of considering or reckoning, this comes to be my part. Okay, this is all that it is that God has done. I mean, it's tremendous. No, we can't even articulate words to all that it is that God's done. And what does God want me to do? He wants me to count on it, to rely on it, to walk by faith in it. Okay? He's not asking me to in and of myself to do anything, to crank out any kind of good works, to crank out any kind of good deeds, to crank out the power to suppress the flesh in my own strength. No, none of that at all. He's just saying, count on, rely on, consider, walk by faith in what it is that God has done. Okay? And now, we went through this in pretty good detail that That is the idea there. Reckon gives us the option. You might reckon, you might not reckon. So it's bringing out there that there's a choice involved there. Okay, so God's done this. What are we going to do? Are we going to walk by faith in it? Or are we going to not walk by faith in it? Okay, that's the option. You have a decision here to be made. There's a choice to be made. What are we going to do with what it is that God's done for us? It's like, you know, somebody gave me millions and millions and millions of dollars and they put it into a bank in an account with my name on it. Okay? What am I going to do? Am I going to walk down to the bank and trust that it's there and begin to access that account? Or am I going to say, I don't think you really did it, or I don't really need to go down there and do that, and continue to not you know, take advantage of that billions of dollars in an account for me there. So that's kind of an example. So we need to by faith walk in what it is that the Lord's done for us. Okay, and then if we were to go to verse 13. And do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So here comes the idea of presenting, or the idea of yielding, as I think the KJV brings out. So again, it's just kind of a natural world here. This is what it is that God's done. He wants us to believe in it, and He's given us the option to believe or to not believe in it, and He wants us to present ourselves as those that are dead unto sin and alive unto God. I think that's just kind of the... And again, it's no power of ourselves, it's no strength of ourselves, it's no... not to be any self-exaltation of ourselves or self-righteousness of ourselves, but this is just simply what God's Word says and how it is that He's laid it out. So, maybe to specifically answer your question, I think that God has put for us to believe and to walk by faith, and it's there and it's available for us to do that, and He wants us to do it. And He's asking us to trust Me in what it is that I've done for you. I think when we can get, in a sense, a little bit spiritually handcuffed a little bit, or spiritually paralyzed by saying, boy, is this going to be of the flesh, or is this going to be of the Spirit? And if that maybe gets to your, is the flesh, am I believing in the flesh, or am I believing in the Spirit? And so we kind of, you know, like Roger said, you know, we get up a little magnifying glass and say, boy, what's going on here? And I think that's bondage. I think Rachel was speaking that. But I think that's really brings us into a bit of spiritual bondage, or handicapped, or paralysis, or legalism, or however you want to describe it. So this is what God's done. Boy, you know, indescribable things. He's asking us to reckon on, to count, to be so, to believe on, to be so, and to walk in it. Let's do that. Let's believe the Lord. Let's let that happen.
So when you're talking about choice, you're really talking about on the one hand, believing and trusting and knowing, reckoning on what the Lord's done, and the choice is to sin, isn't it? I mean, isn't that the other side of it? When you know for a fact that it's a sin and you choose to do it?
If I choose to not believe God, that's where the choice is. The choice is to believe. Okay? The choice really is, the choice isn't of actions. Okay, that gets into legalism. As soon as we allow the choice to come into, what am I going to do? The action aspect. That gets into works, gets into legalism. Okay? It's going to tend to be self-righteousness. Okay? The choice is faith. What's my faith going to be in? Me or in God? Okay, that's where the choice, that's where the reckoning comes into of verse 11. Yeah. Obviously, if I'm going to choose there to believe in myself, what's the end result going to be? Sin. Okay. Now, I think the Holy Spirit brings other scriptures to our mind. You know, and so what do we, as the Holy Spirit's bringing these other scriptures to mind, what are we going to do? Are we going to believe in the scripture? Are we going to believe in the facts? You know, have faith in the facts? Or are we going to believe in something else? And we have to be careful that we keep it all. You know, we know there's man's part, and responsibility, but we keep it in its proper space and we don't let it get too broad. But yeah, that's a choice to believe. And so, you know, then when we talk about, you know, created to do good works, I think that can be an exciting thing. And I think that sometimes, because we're so cautious to bring any attention upon ourselves, that we almost are afraid to walk in the good works of which God has prepared beforehand. Does that make sense? And I think that can tend to be a little bit of spiritual. I use the word paralysis because I know all these things are true, and I know what it is that God's done for me in my position, and I know He's prepared all these good things. I know that He wants to live His life in and through me. And He wants. I know all those things, but I'm so afraid to walk in them because it might be legalistic or might be drawing attention to myself, and so therefore I'm like, what do I do? And so I feel kind of stuck in a sense. But I think as we truly learn what God has intended for us by faith, to walk in Him, there I think comes a real freedom to walk in the good works that the Lord has prepared before me. And because we're dependent on the Lord, because we're walking by faith, there's not going to be that self-righteousness, and there's not going to be that glorifying of me and look at what I did. It's going to be all unto the Lord, and it's going to be glorifying and honoring to Him. So,
you may very well given that desire to go into mission.
Yeah. I hope He does. Where are any other good desires going to come from? They're not going to come from. I mean, they can, in a self-righteous way, but in a God-honoring way, where else are they going to come from? So yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. He gives us the desires to do certain things. Like God did, let's walk in faith and let's do them. I think that's okay.
You know, many times I think that, you know, if the Lord's placed me in a certain place, I'm here. I think, well, I'm here. Why am I here? Why am I in this job? Why am I in this particular place? Why shouldn't I do it? I mean, you know, on the flip side, I can do it. I mean, if the door, quote, is open, the open closed door thing, you can get the, you know, that can be legalistic. You know, closed doors are open doors. You can go through them. But if you're sitting here in a place, you're driving the car, wherever you're at, you know, it says, do all the glory of God. So, we have freedom.
That's right.
The freedom aspect.
Yeah.
And there, I have the ability, I have the money, I have the talents, whatever I do it.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that I was here to do it.
Yeah.
I think that, I understand where you're coming from, but I think that we need to understand that we're not perfect.
Sure.
Okay? We're not going to be complete until we're with the Lord.
Yeah.
And we're going to struggle with these thoughts often. You know, is this prideful? Is this not prideful? Am I doing the right thing, or am I doing the wrong? You know, we're going to struggle with this constantly. I mean, as long as we're on this earth, that's not going to change.
Sure, sure, yes.
You know, because I remember when we worked with young people for like 20-some years, and I can remember sometimes going, I'm thinking, God, I don't want to do this anymore. I really don't want to do this, you know. But then we would continue on doing this, you know. But we struggle with that from time to time.
Sure.
I think even sometimes when you guys teach, you're thinking, I don't want to do it this Sunday. You know, we'd rather do something else.
That happens.
Just something we're going to struggle with constantly. And we just have to, I would say, yield to God and trust that He's going to lead us in the right direction and then follow through.
That's right. Yeah. Completely agree. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, one and all.
Okay. you guys want to move on? We're obviously we're flexible. We went to page 6 of the slide right away. So I want to make sure there's no more lingering thoughts or questions or ideas before we move on to something else. Okay, we'll go back to page 1 for maybe 5 or 10 minutes. I want to ask you this question, kind of an interesting question. The idea there of condemnation in verse 1, I thought was an interesting idea, and skip through this. Why is verse 1 true? Because we're in Christ, Christ cannot be condemned, and nor can we because we're in Him. Okay. Brings out the idea that there's no room for condemnation because of what God did, mentioned in verse 3, of condemning sin in the flesh. Let's ask this question. Why are we not condemned, but God has condemned sin in the flesh? I thought that was, Roger and I were chatting this week. I thought that was an interesting idea that the word condemnation and condemn is used twice. One, it says there's not, and one, it says that there has been. What do you think about that? What are your thoughts about that? How do these two ideas of condemnation relate to each other?
What was the other?
Yes, okay. So if you look at verse 1 in chapter 8, it says, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, so there's no condemnation. And then if we go to the end of verse 3, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. So we see that there's no condemnation because we're in Christ Jesus, yet God has condemned sin in the flesh. So there's no condemnation, yet there has been some condemnation. So how do those relate?
The condemnation came in Genesis, Adam's sin.
Okay.
So we were born into that. But the no condemnation comes in Christ. We all know John 3:16, but we seem to leave 17 out. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So there was no condemnation coming there. And of course, when we read on, and this is condemnation, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. So they go back to
you're
already condemned from Adam.
Yeah. So, because of Adam's fall, the whole world came under condemnation? Sure. Okay.
Of course, that was the separation, the death that separated him from God.
Right.
Christ then bridged that gap.
Yes.
And got life.
Okay. Let's take it one step further. The end of verse 3 there says, He condemned sin in the flesh. So the condemnation of sin came upon all mankind because Adam sinned. Okay, so now we've got God condemning sin. So how does that relate to that there's no condemnation?
I think this is both additional statements that relate to the cross. Because we are not condemned. Why? Because we are identified with Christ. We are placed in Him. And when was sin condemned in the flesh? When was our flesh identified with Christ's death and sin was on the cross? But I missed the thought, so I don't know if that's right. I didn't really study it out.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Yeah.
Is one talking about us? Just our soul and self, like a fight. And then the other one's talking about the sin nature itself, which is in us.
Possibility. Mm-hmm. Anything else? We think about this idea. Because God condemns sin in the flesh, therefore we're not condemned. What do you guys think about that? Maybe how the two relate there? So, He condemned sin in the flesh, and boy, praise the Lord that He did that. And because He did that, therefore, we're not condemned. That makes sense? How these two might relate together? Roger, you got any thoughts? This was your question. This was your thought. You have to always be able to defer to the elder. And like, yeah. So does that cover what you were kind of thinking then?
Isn't verse 1 the most free, wonderful verse in the entire Bible?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Just, well, the two, obviously, one is to be the focus. I mean, if you, you know, would you know that, that I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. And so one of the opening question that I had, you know, to go just look at that, you know, why is verse 1 true, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Let's just bring this out. I think we did in past weeks. But look at verse 3. What the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. So, look at the middle of verse 3 there, those two words, that God did. What the law could not do, what we could not do, God did what could not be done any other way. It was absolutely impossible for this to be done, and God did it. That's incredible. That there's no condemnation because of what God did. Now and then we got this great big umbrella again of all that it is that God did. Specifically, how did God condemn sin in the flesh? How was God satisfied?
Christ,
exactly right.
Condemnation is the judgment, and He took that judgment upon Himself.
Exactly. You got it. Verse 3 says that exactly right. He sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. So He took the condemnation of sin, you know, off of us onto Christ. Christ died. Therefore, God was satisfied. Yeah, exactly right.
I have to add to this. I'm believing this with all my heart. Why did I ask the first question?
Oh, you asked the best question of the day. Your question to say, how does all these traditional truths affect my moment-by-moment daily walk with the Lord? And that's a great question. And hopefully our time is profitable, and you guys found it to be profitable. And I really do. I want the Holy Spirit to be teaching us and to be bringing things to our remembrance, and there's such depth and wealth of positional truths that we are looking at, and such detail. And God wants them to impact our lives on a daily basis. And the wealth and depth of these positional truths that we're looking at in such detail, if they're not impacting our lives on a daily basis, and I think, quite honestly, I think something's not right. And so let's just talk it through. Let's ask the questions. Let's look to the Lord to answer the questions that how is it that our position becomes real and our condition. Okay, Bob will pick it up next week in verse 14, talking about adoption. Get into the adoptions. That's great. Lord, thanks for this morning. Thanks for the discussion and interaction of the folks, and it's just good to be a body and to learn together and to study together and to grow together. And so that's exciting and encouraging to hear how You're working in all of our lives. As always, we trust You to bring these things to our remembrance and to be working these things in our lives as we're walking by faith and beholding You. So we pray for Vern, the rest of the service this morning. In Your name we pray. Amen.